It's now my pleasure to introduce Wendy Chung from the Simons Foundation, which is one of our platinum sponsors. And I want to thank the Simons Foundation Safari for all that they've done in supporting INSAR. And particularly, I think it's been wonderful to see the coverage of INFAR 2014 and the previous INFARs by Greg Boustead and the team at Safari. And we had a very intense hour of Twitter chat yesterday afternoon that was also good fun and raised a lot of interesting questions. So Wendy Chung is Director of Clinical Research at Safari. She's principal investigator of the Simons Variation in Individuals project. She's a clinical and molecular geneticist with an MD from Cornell, and Herbert Irving, Associate Professor of Pediatrics and Medicine at Columbia. So welcome, Wendy.
Thank you very much for giving me a few minutes today to be able to tell you a little bit more about the Safari program at the Simons Foundation. This is an unabashed advertisement, hopefully to be able to let you know about the resources that we're trying to produce for you. So one of the things is that in terms of the dire state of NIH funding, one of the things you should know is that the Simons Foundation commitment to funding in the area of autism is certainly not waning. We've already invested over $375 million since we started funding autism research. And as you can see from the funding year by year, we're maintaining that level of research and intend to continue to do so. For those of you who are looking specifically for funding for projects, there are a variety of granting mechanisms. There is an annual request for applications, and those letters of intent actually will be starting a little bit later this year. Please go to the website to be able to look for the different requirements for that and the different deadlines. In addition to that, because we realize that good ideas come up not just once a year, but on a rolling basis, we also have a mechanism called the Explore Awards, which are specifically designed for early ideas. You don't have to have preliminary data for those. And again, we review those on a monthly basis, so there's a rolling deadline. All of the information on our website in terms of those. Increasingly, we also are interested in being able to fund things, I would say, that are in the clinical translational realm. And I know some of you realize that the portfolio has been, I think, a lot of fantastic basic neuroscience, but increasingly we're interested in being able to translate this into improvement in care and thinking about new treatments. And so I especially encourage those of you who are in that area to think about applying to any of those mechanisms. And it's likely we're going to be specifically looking for grants that are looking at better and improved outcome measures that we can eventually use in terms of clinical trials. I think that's something the entire field needs. And so for those of you who have interest in those areas, keep your eyes open for upcoming requests for applications. As we know, or as already alluded to, the Simons Foundation is also very much interested in being able to make your life a little bit easier by letting you know about what's going on in the area of autism research. Our web team does a fantastic job, I think, of being able to put all that information together in weekly updates on the website, create a forum in terms of you being able to talk to each other about this information with news and views and blogs about this, and also information that's sort of curated in terms of the genetic aspect specifically with Safari Gene. We continue to maintain that in terms of genes that are validated in the area of autism, and also in this area be able to have information about the different funding mechanisms. So definitely useful and a great place to be able to get the latest information in terms of research and news and autism. Just to give you some more information about specific cohorts or specific resources of particular patients in the area of autism, I just want to highlight some of the things that are very, very broadly available to the community and to emphasize that we try and do whatever possible to make it easy for you to access these resources. In particular, as many of you know, our flagship collection, the Simon Simplex Collection, is a group of over 2,600 individuals with autism, with no family history of autism, incredibly carefully phenotyped individuals, and the biospecimens, the resources available for that, and increasingly incredibly deep genetic and genomic information in terms of copy number information, SNP data, and soon to be available on the entire cohort, exome sequencing on all of those 2,600 individuals. As you can see, this has already been utilized by many members of the community, but we again want to increasingly encourage individuals to use this. It gets richer and richer as more people continue to add data and add analysis for that. Again, for that information that's available in terms of biospecimens in particular, besides the genomic data that's available simply as a data set itself, there's whole blood as well as lymphoblastoid cell lines. For those of you who do more basic molecular biology, those can obviously be used for functional studies if you'd like to. And a large portion of that cohort, 1,500 individuals, are now part of something called the Simon Simplex Collection at IAN, or the Interactive Autism Network, which I'll talk a little bit more about in a second. And that poses a wonderful opportunity to be able to utilize that portion of the cohort because they're actually interested in doing ongoing research. And so if you have particular ideas about being able to use that portion of the individuals registered, whether it be for survey types of studies or whether it be for very sophisticated studies, we have mechanisms into being able to recruit those, and you have the advantage of already having their baseline data, very carefully phenotyped as well as genotypic data. Also, in addition to that, I've had the pleasure of being able to lead the Simon's VIP program. This is an approach that's taken a genetics-first approach, so realizing there's actually quite a bit of heterogeneity in terms of autism and knowing that it would be much easier to be able to compare apples to apples and oranges to oranges, we've taken particular genomic or genetic events that are related to autism and related disorders and started to very, very deeply phenotype those individuals that are genetically more homogeneous. And so we've done this initially with copy number variants, done incredibly detailed phenotypic data as well as genomic analysis, imaging, structural imaging as well as functional imaging, and again, let me emphasize that data is absolutely available to any of those individuals who'd like to be able to access that, along with biospecimens. This has really been incredible in that for 16P11.2, one of those copy number variants we've looked at, it is itself a relatively rare disorder, although it accounts for about 1% of autism in the SSC. But by using online recruitment, we've been able to very, very quickly and continually accrue at this point over 500 individuals with that particular copy number variant. And again, trying to make that really a place for you to be able to use those individuals. And so if you can utilize that resource, please let us know. As I said, in terms of this, this just tells you the number of individuals we have for each of those, the duplications, the deletions for 16P1Q211. And for anyone who's interested in these particular idea of being able to use a genetics first approach, we're also considering adding additional either CNVs or particular genes. And if you'd like to nominate your particular favorite and let us help you in terms of the recruitment of those individuals, please let us know. We're definitely open to nominations. In addition, we have resources to be able to go with all of that. So as I said, any of you who are more of the molecular biology types, resources to be able to functionally start analyzing those individuals. This is simply the website, so for any of you that are interested in being able to access any of that, please do go to Safari Base, and it's relatively self-explanatory, but if you have any questions, just go to collections@safari.org, and we'll be glad to help you out. I'm very happy to announce that we also have a new initiative that's just being started, the Autism and Developmental Disorders Inpatient Research Collaborative. We've been especially concerned that we make sure that we're providing information about the entire spectrum of individuals with autism and realizing that those who are in particular in the inpatient setting really are most severely impacted at that time and really can pose a challenge, and we wanted to make sure that the research community also had that as a resource. So we have 9 sites that are doing this with us. We're proud to say this is also sponsored by the Nancy Laurie Marks Family Foundation. We're just getting started in terms of being able to collect these data. Eventually we'll have 500 individuals with, again, deep phenotypic data as well as biospecimens and genomic data. And as soon as this is more mature, we'll be able to offer this to investigators as well. You've already heard about this a little bit, but the Autism Brain Net was another gap we felt that was the research community needed. And again, we're proud to sponsor this with the Autism Science Foundation as well as Autism Speaks, collecting brains from both individuals with autism as well as normal controls to get really very detailed pathology, molecular biology, as well as eventually deep molecular biology and phenotypic data as well. This is something that we know is not easy for families to think about, so it's something that we really are going to depend on you to be able to help us get the word out to the community of participants who might be able to help make a difference in the future. And there are certain studies that I think we're only going to be able to do with this generous donation from these families. And so, again, we want to partner and help have you help to make this successful. If you have particular questions, again, about what resources are going to be available or as a user, what you might want to see in terms of what gets done, please call and give us some input in terms of that. Finally, I just want to also say that another resource that we've jointly supported with Autism Speaks, the Kennedy Krieger, as well as NIH, has been the Interactive Autism Network. It's a tremendous online resource that's being led now by Paul Lipkin. It's really both for researchers as well as for the community of patients and families. These are the URLs in terms of this information, gives very accessible information to families, as well as keeps them up to date in terms of what's being done with the research. A tremendous resource, I think, for the community. Already up to 1,400 individuals with autism registered, data that's provided or collected online for individuals as well as their family members. And we're making a real push to actually increase these numbers to be able to provide you with access to a large number of participants that might be helpful for your research studies. So please, if you're interested in doing any research through them, they're a great portal in terms of recruitment for studies. You can select based on either geographic limitations, particular age, gender, functional status, things that might be useful in terms of a targeted recruitment for your population. So please use that resource if it's helpful. We're always open to new ideas. So if you've got good ideas about things that we aren't supporting yet, but you think would be a great resource for the community, we really see it our mission to be able to remove barriers and to facilitate what the community needs to be able to push things forward. So please catch any of us here at the meeting or give us a call or drop us an email afterwards. Thanks so much.